Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Who's your boy, dude?
That's a sick scream.
They were dope, dude. I think you would like Def Heaven Live.
Why is that my boy?
Because I just wanted to try to get you to watch it.
Oh, okay. I'm like, Anthony Green, dude?
Yeah. Oh, God. Is he still alive?
Not for long, dude. He's probably in a fan.
I really don't mean to be. Right, no, but yeah. Dude, seriously, I don't know how you're going to keep doing it like that.
Oh, man. Oh, can you grab two things while you're in there?
Say one.
Please.
Can I get... Oh, God. You know what? I'll come over. I'm a head over.
One. Is it two?
No. I'm okay. One for yourself and one for me, please.
Sapporo. Right behind you.
Oh, you're going to get a Sapporo, dude?
Yeah. Hell yeah. If I relapse, it'll be on Sapporo.
Yeah, can you imagine? Shittiest beer in the entire world.
I think I would get those, like, what is it, that Lagunitas? That one at Food for Less with the fucking turtle on it?
Ah, yes.
Oh!
Are you... Oh, you are recording.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you gonna introduce?
I am gonna introduce. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 436. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
What is up, gentleman? Gentleman.
A whole lot of nothing, but there are a lot of stuff coming up. And for me, I've been really excited about Predator Badlands.
Yeah! Although, one of them fucking Predators looks real fucked up.
He's joined that club.
The Young Blood. You don't like the Young Blood?
Real fucked up. There's something...
The community is divided.
There's something real fucked up about...
No, they've jumped all over that.
The way that little young fucker looks... I don't know.
And then, like, some guys are going to come in on the comments and be like, oh, Predators look different, and post, like, a grid of 16 different Predators.
They've already seen, like, four of them.
They were having, like, conversations about, like, well, this could just be a young, inexperienced Predator from a clan that is like a hunter-gatherer instead of a...
Blah, 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 blah. And then you get, like, shit like, oh, well, Prey was great, but I don't get this. And but it's like, well, it's the same fucking writer-director. Yeah. Idiot! Like, dude, like, watch it first.
It just needs a little work. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Just a little work.
In theaters, you know, exclusively in theaters, in IMAX, that's pretty good.
Absolutely. And even the little bits of quick imagery we got, I like Trachtenberg's style with the... You know, and is he expanding the fucking universe? Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, he's got decades of comic books and Dark Horse to explore. So, like, because I own, like, a ton of Predator. I own every single one published from, like, 87 to 2015 or something like that. Like, every issue ever published of Predator comics. That's like, that was, there's so much great stories there. And definitely feels expansive of that. And they showed Ellie Fanning's... Or Elle Fanning's character is an android, and when her eyes roll back,
Weyland Yutani.
She's supposed to be a Yutani
deal. Yeah, her eyes are Weyland Yutani,
like Romulus, dude.
So we're gonna get the Fede Trachtenberg AVP, dude.
Yeah, we're gonna get one where it doesn't have Ellie Fanning say, "Come on, kill me, I'm here."
No, she's gotta say, "You're one ugly motherfucker."
She's gonna say, "Get to the chopper in space." That's how fucking dumb. Get away from her, you chopper.
Yeah.
No, and also, look, Trachtenberg so far, like with Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane, Prey, he did the playtest episode of fucking Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's very good with pacing and structure. What I mean by, you know, what the fuck does that mean? The pacing. He's very good with pacing.
And, well, what do you mean by pacing and structure?
Yeah, well...
It is, I mean what I fucking said, right? No, but seriously.
It's
like there's rising action. Things happen. There's an actual plot. Like, Prey wasn't just like, oh, it's with Indians. It's like, no, there's an actual plot. And then they get to the fucking buffalo and the fur traders. There's other shit going on. My point being, I think he knows how to orchestrate a good film. Besides, like, him being about the lore and understanding the appeal of Predator, I think he's good with that stuff.
Yeah, and he's got a formula that works, and he's just kind of honing it as he goes.
Yeah, yeah. So these people just chill out about the fucking young Predator. He doesn't have enough pock marks on his face.
I will never chill out.
Not you. I don't want you to chill out.
Yeah.
We should, in fact, both of us should fucking die of strokes before we're 50. We should never chill out.
Yeah, just always, just stroke out before 50.
Don't
just
stop like... fucking salty food. Just keep getting pissed about dumb shit.
Oh, man. So our family experienced one of the most metal things over the last like few weeks.
Metal, dude?
Fucking metal, dude. And I'm going to tell you. So we had a pair of hummingbirds put up a little nest on the string of lights that's out there, right? Adorable. They put a nest. There's eggs. Cool. They're doing their thing. Well, at the same time, up here, these little, what do you call them? Not robins. Finches.
Uh-huh.
Also create a little nest.
I know where you're going. The same thing happened to us over there, but yeah.
So they're like within like, you know, 6-8 feet of each other. And the hummingbird was like kind of generally like sticking to herself and, you know, sitting on the egg as much as she could. But the fucking finches, they were assholes and they kept like scaring her off. So sooner or later, they basically like tore up her nest and it's fucked. The eggs are gone. The hummingbird's gone. Whatever.
That's DEI, dude.
It's DEI. So we had noticed that there was 4 eggs in the finch's nest. And it was like, oh, cool. Well, you know, at least the finch will do its thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, sure as shit.
You enabled the finch.
Yeah, we enabled the finch, which is fine. You know, the hummingbird, you know, didn't do its thing. So the eggs hatch and we have 4 baby finches in this little nest. And it's like, cool. We're going to have like little finches. Really cool. At the same time, we've had these 2 crows that come to our house in our backyard and are like, they're hanging out and like Dashy will like bark at them and run at them. They'll go take a little dip in the pool, take a little bath. Like they're like, they own the fucking place, right?
Yeah.
Well, this morning, my mother-in-law, she sees the fucking crow, like, jump onto the patio, look up, kind of zero in on the fucking nest, and go up there.
Yeah.
And just ate all 4 babies. Just shit. Took one of them out, went over to the next door roof, and was like ripping its head off.
Yeah.
She could see it from the door.
I'm glad you fucking brought that up because, okay, we have a similar situation, well, almost identical. Like, Sophia, as you know, loves animals. She's an animal lover. We got that little backyard with the condo and whatever.
Yeah.
These robins come every spring. It's probably not the same robins, but nonetheless. It's a little tree next to the house, next to the front door. And it's like kind of away from the park, which is outside of our house, where they're kind of far enough away from certain birds of prey, right? That's the idea.
Anyway. Well, and they're also smart. They nest near humans, so
exactly. Yeah. It's like a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, she was out there, and then Sophia put a sign for the guys who trim the bushes. She's like, please leave this alone, like because there's a fucking nest there with the robins, and they have eggs. And she was out there, and the fucking crow, like, swooped down from a tree in the park, came right fucking there, and snagged a fucking baby. Like, like in broad daylight. And she was devastated. Another time I've been wanting to mention this, we both woke up in the middle of the night. She has bird seed in the backyard, and she feeds the birds out there.
Yeah.
And there's hummingbirds and all that stuff, too. And hummingbirds are mean fuckers, too.
Yeah,
like they fight amongst each other.
Yeah.
And I like bringing that up because I love doing that, and Sophia doesn't like hearing that. But it's like, well, look, you know? But anyway, dude, she has bird seed there. And what it does is there's
at night there's rats like out by the thing, mm-hmm. and we're not worried about them particularly because they're from the park, and they're eating like some of the bird seed and stuff like that and all this other shit. And Gypsy, our little dog, barks at him because she's like a fucking, she's part terrier and she's bred to fucking eat rats.
Yeah.
Anyway, middle of the night, we're upstairs asleep and we hear this fucking like tearing sound and this, and we look out and it's a fucking owl.
Yeah.
Eating this fucking rat's head, like tearing it up.
Tight.
And she was so fucking, she could not sleep for like an hour. Dude, it was bad.
Large birds of prey are scary as fuck.
Yeah, I saved a baby straight squirrel up from a crow. And I was like, awesome. I was like, I was running late to work because of it. And I drive off and like in the rear view mirror, I just see it get eaten again. I was like, okay, well, it was meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up. I mean,
What's weird,
because it sucks if you like put yourself, you know, it's empathy, right? Like, if I'm that rat, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah.
But it's like, you know, don't do that.
What's really strange about our crow community is that they come at the same time every day. It's 3:30, Ronnie says, every fucking day.
Mm.
They come and hang out in the backyard.
Super smart.
And I'm like, cool, let them hang out.
Yeah. Let them regulate these fucking dorks.
Yeah. Let the ravens and the crows rule the backyard for sure.
Well, yeah, fucking owls, you know. You'd probably know all about. I mean, they're spitting up bones. They swallow the fucking bones. And
you ever taken one of those apart? Owl pellet? I think I talked to you about this.
You've talked to me about it.
Yeah.
All the shit that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Birds of Prey podcast, dude.
Oh, you like that movie?
I never saw it. It was supposed to be good, but was that woke or was it owning the libs? It was definitely woke. Which is good.
I think it can be both, right?
Birds of Prey?
No, it can be woke and also owning the libs.
It can be, but that's not the joke. The joke is it's one or the other, and that's the only types of things that exist. Anything that was, even though that shit didn't exist in vernacular till the last fucking 5 to 10 years, any of the previous thousands of years of civilization still only falls into woke or own the libs. Even though the Democratic Party and the Republican Party of this country, as we know it, didn't exist prior to like 250 years ago, it's still all issues can be clumped into those that thing.
Woke or not woke.
Republican or Democrat, woke or not woke, blue or red. It's straight up fucking, it's fantastic.
That's certainly how I am.
That's how you are, huh?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Jacob, we hung out with your brother.
Yeah.
This last weekend. We got to watch a little band called Horse the Band.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun show.
Horsey the Band. Mm-hmm. And I saw, while they were doing that,
yeah.
Sophia and I were in Phoenix. Us,
first off.
it's fucked up. We already talked about this. I got tickets to see Def Heaven with Gate Creeper and another band, Trauma Ray, without looking at the date before, because Jacob's brother Paul was kind enough to get me a ticket for Horse the Band, and I felt bad. But yes, I saw Def Heaven with Gate Creeper and fucking Trauma Ray, and Gate Creeper was fucking amazing. Band from Phoenix. Highly recommend to anybody if you like heavier music, and many of you probably heard of them already. Def Heaven was fucking awesome. Week before was Meshuga with Cannibal Corpse and Carcass in Phoenix, Arizona. And it was fantastic.
All right.
And we talked about it more on the pre-show.
We sure did.
Among other things.
Yeah, some things that got cut out.
Some things that got cut out because Jorge gets, you know, he has poor impulse control.
I do. That is one thing that is true about me.
He's censoring you, dude.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
The incel energy that just exudes out of me sometimes.
I don't like it, man. I don't like feeling censored, but it's, you know, that's life. No, patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
That's the one.
Is a place you can go and help support the show. And
it was actually a good thing that you ditched us because Paul ended up using that ticket.
You know what,
that's
fucked up.
You know what, dude? It is better that you did not go.
Yeah, because we got a new Patreon member because of that.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to
Diego from San Diego.
Yeah. Paul's homie from work, and we gave the spare ticket to him, and he just said, you know, I've been checking out the show. Paul introduced him to the show, and next thing you know, like a week later,
he got kind of the red carpet that night then, didn't he? Because it was like he got the ticket, and then we did the VIP business.
Yeah. It was good.
That's pretty dope.
That's pretty good. See, that's what happens if you're in San Diego and you come to a show. You get the VIP.
Welcome, Diego from San Diego.
And then also, I'm not even going to try to say homeboy's name. It's Cody...
Polish last name.
That's Polish last name.
I believe that's Trogdor Killer. Because
he came back.
He resubscribed. He added his address to Patreon so I can ship him the stuff we did recently and last year's. Because I still have his envelope with his name with no address, just waiting for it. So I got it. And nice. He's going to get the goods.
That's a Polish ass last name.
It is.
Did you see that Ryan Coogler tagged us? On his... No?
Okay, did he?
No.
Oh. I was gonna say, wow, that's impressive.
Yes, welcome to the new homies.
Mm-hmm.
They are both active on the Discord, which is something you have access to.
I've played some Fortnite with Trogdor Killer.
Oh, nice!
How'd it go?
I mean, I'm not good, so it went about as well as you can expect. Mm. Still got that cool skin though.
Dude, anything else before we get into the...
what have we been watching?
The specialties. Oh, wait. Can I mention one more thing?
Sure.
About a fucking animal that I just read about. It's a...
What? You're going to tell us about the duck dick?
No, not the duck dick. Not the duck dick.
Because you know they got...
A carnivorous caterpillar dresses in the remains of its prey, right? And it's been dubbed the bone collector caterpillar. Dude. Look at this. So the thing on the left here is that's the caterpillar. So he just killed this spider and ate this motherfucker, and he put like pieces of its body.
Oh, yeah, you can see his eyes and shit.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Fucking dope, dude. So,
oh, shit.
So I just wanted to mention that. Welcome, bone collector caterpillar.
Is it a new thing?
Yeah, it's another hard on collider situation. No, they find new shit all the time, right? Yeah. And who was like seeing this and like, wait a minute, that thing's alive and it's a caterpillar with it's covered in other fucking bugs, fucking stuff. Pretty amazing. And Sophia thought it sounded cute, and it's like that's not fucking cute, dude. When what kind of butterfly is this guy gonna turn into?
I could see Sophia being like, oh, he's dressing up.
Exactly. It's just a different perspective on the thing.
It's just getting all suited up. Yeah. You know, it's chill.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to make sure to give him a shout out.
Give that little homie a shout out.
Yeah, he's in Hawaii.
He just joined Patreon too, actually.
The bone collector
the
caterpillar.
The bone collecting caterpillar.
That's fucking
He's actually
dope,
the new king.
That's fucking awesome. I'm really impressed.
Shout out King Hans.
Yeah, with the whole situation on this planet, I am impressed. Like, it's, you know, that keeps me going. What have you been watching, Jacob?
I mentioned it, I think, a little bit last week when we discussed Altered States, but that movie was written by a fella named Paddy Chayefsky.
Oh, you did it.
And he also, he's most famously known for winning an Oscar for this film called Network. I think it was 1976. And I watched that shit twice in a day. I was fucking blown away by this movie. It's like top 10 of all time.
Me too,
is one of the greatest scripts like ever written, and it's timeless. Like, holy shit, as long as news networks are still around, this movie will be fucking relevant till the end of time. I was just completely blown away by this, the script, the pacing, the act, the whole thing is just acted the shit out of it. You know, it's
fucking Duvall, Faye Dunaway,
yeah,
Howard Beale.
It's, I mean, the movie right off the bat just starts with a news anchor saying he's gonna commit suicide on television next week,
which is fantastic.
And then everyone's like, wait, what the fuck did he just say? And then it's just complete chaos for the next 2 hours. And I got like 75% into it, and I was like, I don't want to finish it. I want to fuck more. So I was like, I'm gonna rewatch it again from the beginning.
He's gonna edge, dude.
So I edged the movie.
You gooned the movie.
I gooned the movie, dude.
You edged and gooned the movie.
I
that's
did.
Crazy.
I didn't get to the ending. I was like, I gotta redo this.
Fucking love it,
holy shit!
I was so impressed. I was telling her, I was like, dude, have you heard of this movie Network? And like, no one's heard of it.
I haven't even finished it yet, but it's amazing,
yeah.
Dude. It was fucking like up against like Rocky and some other feel good movies for Best Picture that year. Yeah. And
I love that you guys know, or you particularly know, gooning. That's good.
Well, I learned it from you. from Jacob, really.
What?
Gooning. I mean, I'm on the internet enough to know.
No, from you personally.
Oh, damn.
From all the gooning you do.
So, and then after that, I watched some Courtney Loves Her period pieces. So she showed me, I'm familiar with the entire soundtrack growing up. It was my mom's favorite CD to play whenever she's like, fucking, you know, watching me as a little kid, babysitting me, you know, and watching over me and cleaning the house, whatever. But she loved Phantom of the Opera, so I'm actually familiar with, like, every song in Phantom of the Opera, like, front to back.
You passed the point of no return?
Yeah, dude. But I actually know, like, I know, like, all the songs, the Cats, you know, like, I just know musicals because of my mom. Mm. But I've never seen the movie Phantom of the Opera.
With Gerard Butler?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what Courtney, it's, you know, it's one of her guilty pleasures, you know, so she showed me that. And I thought it was fine. It was good. Gerard Butler is the only actor that wasn't musically trained, vocally trained in that. And he did a solid job, but you can tell.
Amy Rossum's in that too?
I think so. I think that was her name. Yeah. So that was cool. Just getting a slice of, you know, a lot of Courtney's movies. I drag her through all these gauntlets of films that, you know, she's a total trooper.
Did she watch Network with you?
Like half of it. Yeah. The first time when I didn't finish it, but.
Oh!
Yeah, but she liked it, yeah.
That speech that he gets from the fucking corporate overlord at the end about the world, there are no more countries.
It's just CBS and, NBC.
Or and whatever. It's in the 70s. It's like 50 years ago, dude.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
It is crazy. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
And then she showed me a little movie called The Pride and Prejudice, which I've seen before a long time ago.
A little film.
But it was 420, and we did a little 420 double feature in the theaters, and we did Pride and Prejudice, and then a movie she hasn't seen before, Pineapple Express. So it was a crazy little you know, twofer, and it was fun. Yeah, and she loved both of them. Oh, she loves Pride and Prejudice. And I'm loving that movie more and more. I've seen it twice now, and I'm actually like, I kind of get it now. And I know you...
just to interject on that, Sophia and I went and saw it in the theater, too.
Yeah.
We saw it on Easter, because I asked her, I said, this is showing, do you want to go see it? And she's all, yeah, that's sweet of you. Neither of us had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem with a good Jane Austen adaptation, and I'd always heard good things. Dude, we fucking... we were bawling by the end of that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, that movie is beautiful. Like, the cinematography is...
It has texture and grit to it, too, and everything.
There's a lot of, like, single shots, too, that make it feel very lived in and immersive.
Mm-hmm.
The performances. It's one of the most romantic fucking movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, Courtney's obsessed with Jane Austen. Like, Little Women is her favorite book of all time and shit. So,
Yeah,
it was good, man. And so, and because of those two period pieces on my birthday on Saturday, I'm showing her Amadeus.
So you want to... So. Oh, dope.
Yeah.
Hopefully she likes it. So hopefully, here's the thing. Would you concede now, you know, being rational-minded as you are, that Pride and Prejudice is better than Romulus?
Mm.
What? I'm just kidding. I'm fucking with you.
we'll revisit that after I've seen Pride and Prejudice as many times as I've seen Romulus.
Oh my god.
And then real quick, I binged White Lotus season 2 in like a week.
Oh.
And loved it. Holy
you
like
season 2?
I did. Yeah. The fucking the goober dude Mr. Collins in Pride and Prejudice, these are exquisite potatoes. That's the fucking the gay dude in fucking season 2 who's friends with Tanya and conspires to kill her and stuff. That's him. Yeah.
That's dope.
And then, last one, I watched a little movie called Warfare with Paul. We saw Civil War together. We always watch like war films and action films together, me and Paul. So we watched Warfare.
Sophia and I saw it too.
Yeah. And we'll segue into your films. You can talk about it too. But yeah, that movie was definitely an experience. You know, it's not a traditional narrative kind of film. It's even like they said, like I made this movie for veterans, not so much for general audiences as like a talking point between the two, rather than usually it's the other way around to make a war movie for general audiences and stuff. So I really like the execution of it. You know, it's very different with its structure. But holy shit, I mean, as far as some of the most immersive fucking, you know, combat sequences in a movie, like this is good, like because it's not entertaining, it's terrifying. It's almost a horror movie. And if you want to hear 60 minutes of a guy screaming, bleeding out, it's horrific. Yeah.
I really, so all the good stuff about Civil War, I shouldn't say all, to me, like particularly the sound design.
Yeah.
And the freaking battle sequences.
Did you see in Dolby or any premium format?
We saw it in IMAX.
Good. Yeah. We saw it in Dolby. Yeah.
Because I was reading about it. And, you know, I was not fucking particularly excited about this, seeing the trailers on the heels of Civil War and all that. But yeah, once fair. I heard more and became open-minded to it and, you know, for the filmmaking of it, right? And, yeah, dude, there were some complaints about the neutrality politically of the thing, but I loved it. We don't know why they're there. I mean, we get it. They're following orders.
Yeah.
It's like that adds a layer of it to it, and it's the experience of being in that situation.
Yeah.
It's almost like a chamber piece, like you're mm-hmm. saying.
And not knowing, that's kind of how it was. So many troops didn't know what the fuck they were doing out there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and the editing is incredible. The fucking tightness of it, because it's such an isolated incident, the actors are all fucking game. And it's like one of those movies where you have a lot of up-and-coming actors, and you feel like a few years, two or three more of these guys are going to be much more well-known.
Yeah.
I mean, that's already happening with at least a couple of them. Mm-hmm. The sound design, though, I mean, it's not enough to just, like, there's two or three layers, sometimes four layers of sound design. It was just really fucking incredible
yeah.
what they did with that and then the subjectivity of it. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing people, we've seen a lot of war movies. What I haven't seen much in war movies is the disassociating stuff. Even the guys who are really sharp and all that.
Yeah. You see this squad get rocked by an IED.
Yeah.
And it shows the after effects of that. It's not like the ears ringing and then you're good to go and you move on. Like, no, like you're fucked for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'll be in the middle of a task and then just zone the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff. And you see how each one of them, even though it doesn't have that much time for character development, they all have these really unique reactions and responses to the events. So yeah, we really enjoyed it, and it's super fucking, as it should be, super gory.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the wrong words, you know,
yeah.
But it's like, yeah. So yeah, I thought, did you see it yet or no?
No.
Are you going to see it?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 And it's a fun credit sequence with all of the freaking experts they have and people who were
there
for that stuff.
And yeah, because it's dedicated to the memory of the guy that Cosmo Jarvis from Shogun plays.
Yeah.
Elliot something. And yeah, because he doesn't remember because he got so fucked up and he's kind of, you know, he got blasted and fucked up his legs and he doesn't remember any of it. And he made this movie for his best friend so he can, you know, using the help of everyone's memories and notes and recreate the entire thing so he could see like what happened that day. Yeah.
And then, like, outside of the box tactics of the one dude, like, he's telling the fucking tanks to shoot the fucking top level of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they have, like, the fucking, what is it called? Like, the demonstration of power or whatever, where they have the fucking...
Oh, show of force?
Show of force. Like, that show of force thing, it's like, it sounds psychological, which it is, but it's physical.
Yeah, it's like, fucking cool.
It's going to disorient you.
I've never seen that in a film before.
Me either.
It was cool.
It was cool. Yeah, Warfare, Pride, and Prejudice. I finally watched, just got down to it and watched all of I Think You Should Leave in like a
row. I know, I caught a little reference there. Some,
dude, I'm that guy. Because I saw the Friendship trailer.
Yeah, dude, that trailer in theaters is like, you could tell like half the crowd isn't vibing with it.
I am so excited. Do you know about this movie, Jorge?
Which one?
Friendship.
New Tim Robinson movie.
Oh yeah, I saw the trailer for that. That shit looks crazy.
That looks fantastic.
The new like generations of cable guy.
I love it so much.
So please tell me, I'm guessing because of that you're a fan.
Oh God,
you like? I Think You Should.
Dude, his re-level is just beyond.
I literally had a watch party for like season three with all my friends, like all the fans, and I'm just like, dude, I quote that shit like every week at work.
Yeah. And season three, well, I think that
you sure about that GIF is like my best. It's like my most used GIF in work at work.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, dude, season three gets like so fucking surreal. Like it's just like, God damn, this is out there.
Yeah,
I love it. Last of Us started.
Yep.
Episode,
I'm caught up.
Are you?
Yep.
Episode 1 and 2 is where we're at. The second episode, third episode comes out Sunday.
First episode was a little...
I agree.
That's what I'm hearing. I haven't watched it, but I'm like halfway through the game right now.
Second game?
Yeah, part 2 of the second game. And I'm kind of glad I didn't watch it because I heard episode 2... spoils, I guess, or it shows the motivations behind a character and what they did. And that is like left as like a plot twist or a plot device towards the end of the video game.
But yeah, they're showing I think you don't know her motivations and why she's so angry until the back half of
it. So now I'm like, man, I think I'm going to finish the game before jumping into the show.
And in this kind of narrative form, I haven't played the games, either of the games.
Yeah.
And
that's so funny because I didn't play the second game. You haven't played I any of them.
No, so I'm just looking at it as I know it's based on that material.
Yeah.
And I know that the showrunner is one of the showrunners.
Druckmann,
right? He was one of the creators of the game, if mm-hmm. not the creator. But yeah, first episode, I agree with Jorge. Like, for me, was just... and it's not just that it was... I get, like, it's table setting sometimes. The production values are still there, the sets and all this stuff. Some interesting stuff with, like, a therapist talking to Pedro Pascal. Well, like, you know, because I thought that rang true and all that. But, like, other stuff I thought was just... It's honestly the dialogue and the writing was just felt like I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
It felt like a video game.
It did. And also when she's in the second level of like a store and has a shotgun and can't blow open a fucking door, like it has a padlock. It's a fucking shotgun, dude. Yeah. Like do better. Like I know that sounds it reminds me of something you would have an issue with, but like also I'm having a hard time believing they're like badasses the way they were fucking acting.
Yeah.
Which I get that's the point. It's like hubris. But, like, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a little too much.
The introduction of the stalker zombie thing was dope as shit. Like, the little...
Yeah.
Across the screen. I like that.
I like that. Oh, speaking of which, there is a new 28 Years Later trailer.
That's a good trailer.
Whoo!
They're like, let's take the teaser and just make it more of that. And
fuck, man.
I don't need any plot. I don't need exposition.
Are zombies making a comeback, dude?
Well, when it's Danny Boyle and fucking Alex Garland, dude, and Ralph Fiennes, hopefully Craven doesn't fuck with it.
It's Craven versus Conclave, dude.
Get fucking Craven out of here, man. It's Craven versus Conclave, dude. The rehearsal season 2 started, and
you guys love this shit,
dude. This one centers around aerial disasters, and he's got a theory why they're happening, and it's weird timing, of course. And the first episode is already just so many layers of absurdity.
Yeah.
And actually kind of like you're kind of onto something.
Yeah.
Right? Without saying too much. I mean, you can go on and on about it. But yeah, this shit is fucking brilliant, dude. And then what was the other? Oh, Black Mirror. Season 7. I don't know if we're... I think there's so much stuff coming out. I doubt we'll do a show on it. But for me, this is the best season for me in almost 10 years. This is
That's what everyone's saying.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Did you watch it, Jorge?
Let me see. Hold on. I did. Pero, hold on 1 second. Okay, so we watched Common People.
What'd you think?
Amazing. Me too. Although too much.
Well, that's what one of our, you know, DJ Ace Ventura, fucking world famous psych trance. Seriously though, DJ, he was really disappointed with Common People, and I think maybe it must be like maybe it's your income bracket, bro, because this shit was fucking this shit was devastating to me. It was really good.
Bete Noir was fine. I think.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Everything going. Yeah, it was fun. It was okay. It was like a Twilight Zone
episode. We've watched 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. So I did... Okay, and I will say I did not like Hotel Reverie.
I didn't mind it, and it's the weakest of the slate. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Plaything, I fucking love.
Okay.
It's somewhat of a sequel to Bandersnatch. It has fucking...
Will Poulter
in it. It's a bit like Plaything 2.
He's also a little bit Meth Damon-y, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So he's like...
I used to get those two mixed up when they were both younger.
He's like Fent Damon.
You say that and I'm like, oh yeah, sure he is. What came after Plaything?
Eulogy.
Oh, that's with Paul Giamatti. One of the saddest, most emotionally effective episodes ever. And they got fucking Paul Giamatti.
Damn.
Like, goddamn.
Okay.
And then episode 6 is a sequel to fucking USS Callister, which is about an hour and a half. And it's fucking bonkers.
Damn, an hour and a half?
No, I haven't seen the first one of that.
What?
Okay, McAllister man. One. I've seen like the greatest hits, but that was like one I missed.
Yeah.
I couldn't fit it in.
You got to catch up, homie.
Yeah. I never watched all the seasons like front to back. I had to cherry pick them because when we did season 6, that was my first time ever watching Black Mirror.
Wow.
So I had to catch up and do the greatest hits.
And that's such you haven't seen all of them. Yeah. Like you saw fucking White Christmas and mm-hmm. you saw
White Christmas
entire
is my favorite
history
so
of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, USS Callister is a fucking trip.
That's a good one. Okay. And,
in fact, now it's, dude, like, kind of envy you, because Sophia hadn't seen that one either. Mm-hmm. So we watched mm-hmm. that one before this.
Oh, was it back to back?
Yeah. It was fucking... Dude, it's like... USS Callister is a little longer on the longer side for episodes, too. So altogether, it was pushing 2.5-3 hours.
It's like a full-length movie at that point.
Pretty much. That's it's like dope. A little mini franchise. And yeah. it gets fucked in the second one.
Okay.
Which is dope.
Yeah.
And Meth Damon... You know, God, man, he's come a long way.
You got Will Poulter and that guy in it?
Jesse Plemons is in USS Callister and the sequel. And
you got, got Meth Damon and Fent Damon.
And the chick from The Penguin.
Yeah.
Pengling?
She was in USS Callister before The Penguin. Now she's like ascended more and now she's in the sequel. She does fucking, I forget her name offhand. She does great. She does fantastic. And Charlie Brooker, like, whatever you did, man, like, yes.
You've redeemed yourself.
Nah, man, this
totally
shit...
Totally redeemed you.
Yeah, this shit blew my fucking mind. It has at least 3 new classic episodes, in my opinion. And even the 2 of them, there may not be classics, I still liked a lot. And then the one, like you said, Hotel Reverie.
Yeah, it was okay. It was kind of like I was really distracted by her acting for the most part. There like not her acting in the thing, but like her acting throughout.
Her acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was it was really distracting.
Distracting. like the layers and meta-ness of it was kept me going, you know, but I agree with you.
I think her co-lead on that one was probably leagues better than her in terms of like acting chops in that episode, but
making this stuff ring true.
Yeah. Cool.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back. Like, we're back.
We're back. We already did the Patreon pitch.
We sure did.
Well,
is that the accent you're gonna pick for right now?
I'm just filling the space, man.
Well,
yeah.
We watched a little film called Sinners.
Am I that fucking like?
No, man.
Hey, this guy does the same thing every episode. We're gonna fucking do that to him.
Consistency is key.
It's true. I'm trying to get to this fucking IMDb page, and you know, being consistent about not having the info up is about right. What the fuck is this? That's the thing. Bring her back.
Bring her motherfucking back.
So we watch a little film called Sinners, directed and written by Ryan Coogler.
Shout out to Coogler. He gave us. He tagged us on his recent post.
So stupid. Starring Miles Catone, Saul Williams or Saul Williams, Andre Ward Hammond, Jack O'Connell, Tanaj L. Jackson, Michael B. Jordan, David Maldonado, and a bunch of other people.
Say this one.
Which one?
This one.
Haley Steinfeld?
Oh, fuck, man. Spit in my mouth.
Hey, why don't you just...
You could steal this and this, but you can't steal this blank for one night? My God. We about done stood up in the theater.
Say, I think you fell in love a little bit, right?
Oh, dude, I've always thought she's a very talented young lady. But yeah, she's
spit in my mouth.
I'm fucking she's pretty goddamn good in this. And that's my review. No, go ahead, man.
No, I'm gonna let you go.
First?
Sure.
Wow, dude. Coogler and Michael B. Jordan have worked together. I believe this is the 5th time.
Yeah.
You know, you got Creed and Black Panther, et cetera, et cetera.
Fruitvale, yeah.
Wakanda Forever was a bit like, oop, that was unfortunate.
A bit not good.
Yeah, and then seeing this trailer the last few months, I didn't know quite what to make of it, but I was intrigued because Coogler's taking on a suspense slash horror thing. Fuck, man. This movie is an instant to me. For me, this is an instant fucking classic. I was fucking completely blown away by almost every aspect of this movie. But
Holy shit. Particularly...
Stuff that should not work just fucking knocks it out of the park. Like the genre fucking jumping and the tonal shifts. And it gets to a part where like the future is meeting the past in a musical montage sequence in a juke joint. And I fucking almost levitated out of my seat because that should be corny as fuck. And it was the polar opposite of corny. And
it was horny.
It was horny. Thanks. Yeah, just change the C to an H. Dude, it was horny and spiritually.
Dude, that's
good for right now.
Yeah, so Ronnie and I went to go see this 2 nights ago now. And you're totally right. Like all the shit that like on paper seems like this would be kind of fucking goofy and silly, and there's like a witch doctor and there's this like weird like psychosexual scene with music going on, and it there's like a like Chinese dancers and I'm a little bit mad there's no fucking Aztecs in that shit, dude.
Well, they wouldn't be there.
I know, but
they still didn't help build the railroads and shit.
I'm mad, dude.
I got you.
I wasn't represented.
Well, that's how it would be in
Barrio
Logo.
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I really, really dug it. I can't find too much. There are like little silly things that I have issues with, but my absolute favorite thing is how they integrated just literally music into this thing.
Yeah,
like the musicality of the acting. There's little moments that you wouldn't get it as a non-musician, but if you're not catching like things happening in like triplets. Mm-hmm. Like throughout the movie.
Yeah, there's the rhythm.
There's a rhythm to it. And then there's like, you know, people doing things along with music a couple times, which, you know, it's masterfully done.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I loved it too.
I loved it. Sure.
And when it, yeah, I'll go,
I don't need
15 minute thing right now.
Well, I did not enjoy the film as much as you two. I wouldn't say I was underwhelmed, but I
am so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I really dig this film. I want to see it again. I think it's worthy of a lot of its praise, but
unworthy of some.
Yeah, I did feel like some of it was a little hyperbole online. I just didn't see like that much. I feel Ryan Coogler made some of like the biggest swings and landed perfectly with this film. Like he did some crazy ballsy shit and it worked, like you said. For me, and I really think this is just a total subjective thing, because a lot of people do like it, and people say it's purposely messy. And for me, I did feel like it felt like a half hour too long for me. I feel like I love the themes of these fucking, you know, vampires with the genre bending stuff and all the themes, like the thematic shit about music and culture. It's mythological storytelling, very similar to like George Miller, but on a cultural level rather than a character level. But I just was kind of confused with kind of what is the story that
I like what you, yeah, about George Miller. That's an interesting parallel.
I was just curious what the movie that Ryan Coogler wanted to put out, you know, in the end. Like I appreciate, but also I feel like it was a criticism. Like it's really interesting. I'm still kind of back and forth on it with how, I don't want to say it's bloated, but there's a lot of ideas here. And I personally think he kind of bit off more than he could chew, just because I wanted him to flesh out some more ideas because there's some cool stuff.
you keep doing it, man.
Flesh out, bite off.
Yeah.
He really wanted to get to the blood of
the material. He really sunk his teeth into the material.
Exactly.
Get to the heart of the issue.
None of that was actually intended. I didn't know I was doing that. For me, like, by the time it really got...
You really
like,
tapped the vein.
Yeah, exactly. By the time it went full bore into the vampire shit, I was personally invested in a completely different type of movie.
Yeah.
So the tonal shift, a lot of people did like it. For like, because, you know, I like the tonal shift in like Cabin in the Woods, you know. But for some reason of this film, it just didn't like, it didn't work for me personally. And I don't think like, I think all of its praise is worthy of all of it. But I just feel like there was just so much going on.
So you think it's too woke? Basically,
I'm going to tell you something. I think Ronnie would agree with you. I think that she was really into the story that was around the vampire stuff. Like everything that happened in the first third, she was really vibing with.
Yeah.
And then I think once the vampires hit, she's like, okay, well, it's just a vampire movie then.
Mm. Yeah, I like it as a thriller. I love it as this Southern bootlegging thriller drama. I love the character development. The writing is great. The performances of Michael B. Jordan
Michael B. Jordan playing twins.
Yeah, it works here.
Best he's ever done.
It's not like the Cray twins with Tom Hardy, which felt kind of comical, you know? Like, this fucking, it really worked.
There are times when I watch Michael B. Jordan and I'm like, oh, he's acting. Like, mm-hmm. I think...
You can see him acting.
Not in this movie.
No.
But I think when, like, in Black Panther, the entire movie, he's acting.
Oh, I was about... For me, that was, like, the big... He was good in Creed and Fruitvale Station. But for me, the big jumping off point, actually, to where he started getting completely... much in a much different league for me was him in Black Panther.
I mean, maybe just that shit that where he's like, oh, I'm gonna get I got to get me one of these vibes from him.
Well,
like, I just like,
I mean, that's what are you trying to say?
You just did a reverse Uno on him, dude.
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
what do you mean, you people?
I just think that, like, obviously, like, in Black Panther, he's playing, like...
I get what you're saying. There's the bravado thing that comes off a little fucking...
But I think in this film, he's hitting, like, the bravado... The
nuances.
The vulnerability of both of the brothers.
They're completely different people.
Yeah, it's incredible.
They walk different. They stand different.
Yeah.
Their expressions are different.
Yep, yep, yep.
One wears a blue hat. One wears a red hat.
One's got crowns on the left-hand side. One's got crowns on the right-hand side. So we know.
One's stacked, but they're a smokestack.
Whew!
That's good. I'm telling you, man. This is what we're dealing with. No, okay. No. So, look. I get what you're saying to a certain degree that you're completely invested, and what Ronnie was saying, that you're completely invested in all this stuff before the vampire thing. To me, that's incredible because it's usually the opposite. For a movie like this, which there isn't really one like this because it's doing so many things at once,
yeah.
Which, again, really wouldn't work 90% of the time this well. It would have its moments, right, to me. But that it's just so fucking like, okay, when it started, like the first thing, I'm just like, look how this movie is shot. Like, look at this fucking movie.
It's so stark.
Well, and the fucking, the cotton fields and, like, the freaking decisions of where to put the camera in the car, the recreation of time and place, and all of that, like, it would stand completely on its, I'm completely invested in this historical drama. And I was, like, a little bit feeling like, God, why is this even going to turn into a vampire movie? The thing is, when it turned into a vampire movie, it didn't ditch the thematic stuff or the character stuff for me. It didn't just become From Dusk Till Dawn in a juke joint.
I think I said that exact thing. I go, yeah. Is this just going to be Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah.
But like Southern version.
Yeah, I was hoping one of you guys didn't say that about because I get the comparison for the superficial reasons, right?
It's like the non-beaner version.
Right. But again.
I can say that.
Like, the fact that it starts, even starting, the movie is so fucking sincere, but also so intelligent, starting with, like, talking about the music and on all the different cultures, what it's been capable mm-hmm. of doing. Like, obviously, it's, like, something, like, I really appreciate it being in the movie, but it's woven into the movie almost in every fucking sequence, like very, I don't want to say the word organically, but the stuff, it all bleeds together. It's not like, it doesn't feel like, oh, now he's going to revisit this. Like, it's like seamless. Like, even the character, Hailee Steinfeld's character, right? She's
who been, you love.
Who I do. I do, yes. And she does a great job, and it's a great character. And she's at this cultural crossroads that's very, probably a very lonely place.
Well, she's, okay.
But of course, she's the one who fucking lets them in. And it's like, it's not, is it her fault? Is it, it doesn't matter. And also, these people are vampires out there. But dude, like the fucking stuff they did with the Irish thing. And like the jig.
That's what I was going to.
Celtic stuff.
I was going to kind of talk about that too. Because like, obviously like the boogeyman of this movie is like white people, right?
Not necessarily.
No. Yeah. But I'm like on a very like superficial surface level, right?
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
But even like the Irish jig and all of that stuff got stolen from. The demon, the vampire stole that from them.
It's about appropriation.
And so yeah. Like it isn't it becomes not this thing about like, oh, it's like black culture versus white culture. It's like, oh, I'm gonna steal it all.
No, well that's
I'm taking it all from you.
Later on when they're saying the prayer. They're saying the fucking prayer. That's what I'm saying. It's operating at a level that's as good to me literally as Get Out. Like because it's operating at a level there where and then like the white people start saying the same prayer. And I'm whispering to Sophia, I'm like, yeah, that same shit was used to fucking enslave indigenous Irish people. Because the Irish people were the, you know, the blank of Europe and all that. And you've seen Gangs of New York, dude.
Mm-hmm.
No, anyway. So, and then he fucking says it in the dialogue, and it's a great line. He's like, yeah, the people that came and killed my father fucking, you taught us that, enslaved us with those same words, but they still bring me comfort.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's showing how fucking... religion, particularly Catholicism in this case, steamrolled across fucking places and enslaved people. And who cares who enslaved people? Well, it cut them off from their actual heritage. Same thing that happened to African people that were taken from Africa. They're fucking cut off and only vestiges of it show up.
Yeah, and they're forced to become Christians and Catholics by extension.
And then they have to do their cultural stuff secretively.
Yeah.
Secretively. And that's like their actual fucking worship, not the church. Like, anyway, like all of that shit was in there without being as fucking preachy as I am about it right now. Like it showed it. Like it showed it really clearly. And that's fucking dope. And that's why. No, but then Hailee Steinfeld. Oh, what's his name? Delroy.
Lindo.
Fucking Delroy great.
Lindo, yeah.
His fucking alcoholism and his whole, like, vibe, his whole get down.
His little anecdote. Yeah, it's powerful. I feel like in the end, the character send off, I didn't feel like it was as well earned with all the development that was led up to. That's why I feel like the movie, and he had Final Cut. And I do feel like this movie does feel like an extended director's cut version. I want to see a theatrical cut of it, essentially. I do feel like there was just a lot of time spent on these characters and leading up to some of their demises. I didn't feel the impact as other people said they felt, you know, personally. I feel like the whole execution with the vampires, you know, not what they represent. I think that's great. I feel like sometimes it's a little on the nose. Like, oh, they feed on blood and their culture. I get it. Like,
I think he's done enough stuff where it's like, I'm not going to add new vampire lore.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I like this aspect that they can't escape it. There's no true freedom for them, unfortunately. Like during the day, they got the KKK, and at night, they have another form of it in a different, you know, in the form of vampires. You know, they can't catch a break. I almost wish that they reversed the scenes. We're obviously getting a full spoilers, but I kind of wish they would deal with the KKK during the day at first, and then at night when they feel like they finally could celebrate, do all, then they have to deal with vampires or something. I just, some of the execution too, I'm not a fan of the, because I said this is a great Southern bootlegging drama and thriller. I think it's an okay vampire movie, and I don't think it's a good horror action movie, because there's some of that, and it's marketed as that as well. But aside from the marketing, I don't like the final moment with the showdown between humans versus vampires. I think the choreography and the action was kind of bland, in my opinion. There's the random, like, 10 red shirts kind of show up out of nowhere, you know? And I'm like, where were you? I thought there was only, like, 6 survivors, and then they got red shirts, and then you kind of got this Gangs of New York showdown facing each other, where I thought was kind of looking forward to, like, a Green Room kind of siege movie, but really it was just kind of like, let's open the doors and let's fight. And I don't know, there's a lot of, like, when there's certain action sequences, things pause around them. I don't know, this is all, like, nitpicky technical stuff, but I just feel like it, when you build up a movie for that long and you have all this character development, everything, I did not kind of like that resolution, and then the movie having like 3 endings, you know. I'm like, where, you know.
Well, but it's like, it has 3 endings, but you don't have to stay for them. It has, it's no, like, I'm not talking about the
post credit. I just feel like there's just multiple parts where I'm like, where does it end? Okay, so, it gets a little messy. Even like, how many times do I gotta see a movie where the villain gets impaled from behind? Like, surprise,
here's where you're wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
They do the Nosferatu, you got a bunch of vampires that stay till daylight. And then it's like, oh, okay.
Well, you got that bloodlust, homie.
Oh, like Nosferatu, that's right.
Like vampires.
Yeah, but this was done better.
It was. Oh, give it that.
The thing is, too, man, like, it kept me going during these scenes with the vampire stuff. So, for instance, when they start turning, it has a very interesting thing, which I haven't seen in a vampire movie.
Absorbing the memories?
Absorbing the memories, which was fucking cool. That was cool. But that goes with cultural assimilation. It goes with, like, the Borg.
Yeah.
But what became, and it's related to that, it's collectivism. They were much happier once they turned. They were legitimately more connected. Racism was out the door because now they were connected as fucking vampires. So it actually starts making a very fucking persuasive case.
Yeah, especially in that mid-credit scene. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's I haven't seen that take on it before, but then... So it gets me in a place where they're not turned into vampires and just become mindless fucking monsters.
Well, you're saying that it's kind of making a case for the vampirism. So is it kind of like,
it's making a case sociologically. Like, yeah. It's about in-grouping and out-grouping.
Yeah.
Now we're all vampires. We don't have to worry about
race. That's what I meant when I'm saying, what picture is he trying to paint? Like, are they culture vultures?
It's not critical. He's talking about people's need to belong. People are searching for a sense. It's the same point made in Midsommar. People will go to extreme lengths to feel like they belong. Mm-hmm. Now they all belong to fucking, they're all vampires.
Yeah.
So they don't have to worry about what race they are. And they can sit there and fucking, and they can mesh all their heathen music together and fucking don't have to worry about it. And so that's, I mean, it was kind of like, who am I rooting for, right?
Yeah.
I'm not like I'm rooting for everybody in a sense. Like, yeah. Even the fucking racist fucking white people, like, he's Coogler's smart enough to show their culture.
Yeah.
He was smart. He wasn't like, oh, white people make shit music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, no, like, well, he's like, this the, because that's the blending of those things that made rock and roll eventually.
I don't even think he's presenting which racist white people are you talking about?
The three.
I don't even think he's presenting them as racist.
Because they're clan members. One of them in particular, he's one of the clan members that was going to go there later. So,
once they become vampires, right? Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Once they become vampires, that's all irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Race doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. Nationality doesn't matter anymore. I've never seen that fucking expressed. And it's a way. It's like, what's the point? It's a way to like fucking talk about how. It makes a case for the first time I've seen that they're actually more, they function better as a group than regular human beings. Oh, and then like I loved the fucking revenge fantasy Tarantino ending. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was this plot wise, it was sound. He knew the fucking KKK guys would be showing up. And it's also like, oh, well, this is ridiculous. Like, no. Number one, we've seen how hard it is to kill vampires. It's real fucking easy to kill human beings. Like, you just shoot us.
That was my favorite scene.
Yeah. And then also, they did plenty of believable context. They went to World War One. They were in Chicago. It's like, he throws a grenade in a fucking KKK guy's car. Like, dude, I'm like, none of that. Like, that was like a fucking victory lap. Like, I'm like, dude, what... I didn't even need this. Then, like, there's a scene, too, where he's dying. And I feel like the movie's about to get corny. It's about to get corny because he sees the chick, the Roots lady, and holding the baby in the afterlife. And then, like, I'm like, it's about to get fucking corny. And then the guy fucking interrupts him. He's like, I got money. And he shoots him in the belly. And then it gets really affecting again. But, like, even the I got money line, earlier on, he's like, I've looked all over this planet. I've been on trains. I've been in other countries. I haven't seen anything supernatural. Just power. And to get power, you need money. And even so, that like, the line, he realizes in that moment, it's like, dude, I'm no different than this fucking guy right here. Like, fucking, he's just chasing. They had him chasing fucking money. And then he wasted his fucking life, which is dope. Anyway, I liked all that. I liked that.
Clearly.
You didn't like the fucking, you didn't like the, like the, I thought the vampire stuff was tasteful. I thought like it had him.
Well, what I enjoy about the vampire stuff is it's like, it's not, who cares, right? Like, okay, they're allergic to garlic. They need to be invited in. It's not one of those things where it's like, well, like, okay, what's different about these vampires? What's cute and clever about nothing?
Yeah, because that's not the point of the movie.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
I like that shit where it's not like, well, we have to relearn what fucking vampires are. Yeah, there's a little bit of like, we, you know.
The tiniest bit. Yeah, the exposition was swift and to the point. I just feel like the buildup, I just don't think it was worth that final showdown and how it was executed. Like I said, it's more of a technical
thing. I want
to do. I'm not trying to convince you. Yeah. I'm really not. I know maybe it sounds like that. I'm saying I get what you're saying on the face of it. Mm-hmm. The other meaty thematic stuff and characters kept me interested, like emotionally.
Yeah. I could have spent another hour in pre-vampire deep joint,
which is a good fucking sign.
That would have been that. I mean, not that it's like fuck the vampire stuff, but it's that character building and that world building was so strong.
Yeah.
I wanted more of it.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like torn because I'm like, for me, I think with the runtime, I feel like it's a little overly long, and I feel like if he's going to juggle that many ideas, which are every single one of those ideas are amazing, I just want them to be fleshed out more. So either if this is going to be presented as a one and done movie, which I actually don't think it will be, but while I was watching for the first time, I thought it was. I'm like, a lot of this needs to be cut because I'm like, there's too much he's exploring. Like, I want to know about the natives of bounty hunters in the beginning. I want to know all about all this.
Well, all of those are good signs that you want to know about.
Though. Yeah, exactly. No, I do. That's why I'm like bummed out that like I didn't get it. I only got the tiniest bit of a taste of it. So if he does the sequel and this is going to be an expanded universe, I am super down. Or if it's not, I'm like, that's kind of sucks. And maybe this should have been a show instead because I do want him to explore it, but I feel like in just contained in one movie in a vacuum, I feel like it was just too much for me. I like the ideas, but it was just too much.
I think I completely agree with you, and usually I don't. I say a lot. Not everything needs world building. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I'm against world building. This is excellent world building.
Yeah,
and it's not. It's not like, oh, what makes it good world building? We've seen vampires. It's like, yeah, but we haven't seen like the magical realism around it in this time and place. And we haven't seen it culturally like this. Like, what the fuck have we seen? We've seen Vampire in Brooklyn. Like, that's not this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've seen Blackula. Like, that's not this. Like, this is totally fucking, it's magical realism. Mm-hmm. Like, including the Roots Lady. Speaking of what you're saying, like, I get real fucking strong feelings.
It's the second time you've said the Roots Lady, and I don't. What do you mean?
Root magic. Not just voodoo.
Magic. Okay.
Yeah, it's just voodoo.
I'm trying to like.
Yeah, that shit reminded me of Angel Heart and shit, by the way. Like, that's fucking like magical realism in the Deep South.
And dude, it was dope. And she was.
You don't gotta say that, dude. Just to make yourself.
I fucking wanna fucking. Everybody, I was like, I wanna fuck everyone. I wanna fuck everyone in this movie.
That's not right. How you own the libs, dude.
I wanna get owned by. This movie.
No, I liked
on the bibs.
Ryan bibs? Ryan Coogler's like, this movie's about, half of it is about eating pussy.
Well, that's good. I just wanted to. And that dude, that kid has the deepest voice.
This is his debut.
I just want to taste you.
And his father's played by Saul Williams.
I'm going to use that line, dude. I'm going to use that line and I'm going to see how it goes.
Coogler is known already for being a savvy businessman also. So he got, you mentioned
There's themes in this movie about black ownership and
all that stuff.
Yeah.
You mentioned he got Final Cut. Mm-hmm. He didn't only get that, he got a cut of the box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I wanted to mention because that's unheard of. And you're absolutely right. he's kind of like, I think he knows he's onto something here. Mm-hmm. And this movie, besides being everything else, it's almost a musical. Like, it has two or three, basically.
Yeah. Well, I was getting, like, Walter Hill, like, Streets of Fire, the Warriors kind of shit in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Bob Fosse, Cabaret. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, even just those little, those little, like, musical numbers at the train station. It's like, dude, you guys are fucking...
So...
You're doing it.
Exactly. And then, like, get this, dude.
Not that they need my fucking, like, you're doing it.
After 25 years, Jorge, he has full ownership of the rights of this instead of it being owned by the distributor, which is unheard of. He's thinking 25 years down the line with this property because this can yield a spinoff TV series. It can yield a Broadway thing, like, is imminent. I'm just, within the next few years, I would be shocked if there's not a Broadway production of this. It's fucking made for that. So all of that, instead of it being a studio property, it will be his personal property because I think he knows that this is like, I think he knew he was onto something, even if it is unwieldy and messy in certain, like, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I think it should be unwieldy and messy, but it's not.
Yeah. People are saying it's purposely messy. And I'm like, okay, interesting.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. On paper, it's messy, but I think he pulled it off because a film, it's like, does this scene work?
Yeah.
Does this scene work? Does that delivery work? Yeah, it did. And then, like, the choreography I thought was very competent because he's done, like, some big budget.
I think I'm glad this came after his experience with Black Panther because some of it shows here for sure.
Sophia actually brought that up too, though. In the water, she's like, I thought it was kind of dumb how all of a sudden he comes up behind him. Like, I thought he had a bunch of guys around him. Like, dude, I was so far away from nitpicking this movie at that point. So I'll admit, I had blinders on by that time.
See, me, I was just thinking too much. Like, the final siege, someone throws a Molotov and the building's set on fire. And then when it cuts to the daytime with the KKK siege, like, the whole building's completely fine. I was like, oh, okay. Like, it's just like little things like that. I was like,
you don't like Tommy Wiseau, dude? No, I'm just kidding. But then I was like, it didn't break my rules, right? Yeah. Like, for instance, if a CGI vampire is disintegrating, does it look trash? No, it looked good. Like, am I getting some kind of, like, artful signature even in those scenes? Like, we've seen people get fucking staked how many times? But, like, I felt, you know, I felt like it didn't, you know,
yeah.
It didn't go full CGI trash wars.
I wanted to give a quick mention. So that there's a Chinese immigrant family,
which is dope.
I love them. Like, they have their little shop, and then their other, like, mercantile store, where the daughter's running the register. You know,
there's a trade war going on, right?
I do.
You know that they forced our president's hand into.
Shut up, man. I love the mother as a character. Like, I know that she's kind of like the catalyst for everything going wrong, but
it's earned. Yeah. What? But because she lets them in.
Yeah, she lets them in.
Oh, come on in, you fucker.
Yeah.
However, it's like, I don't agree with her, but I understand. I understand.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
The strength of her to be like, well, like, if this is gonna be it, then let it be at our terms.
And also, and I love that shit. Like, we want to fucking do what we can here, not let them just go.
Right.
Like, even if we die, it would be best.
Like, best case scenario for them is they hole up until morning, and then what?
Yeah.
They
gotta play defense.
I just love the idea that they have these, like, twangy ass accents, they're running these fucking these two stores, and she's kind of like a boss bitch, and I fucking love it.
And Coogler's flexing on a one-er shot is like from one side of the street to the next. Yep. It's great. Yeah.
And then I'm glad you mentioned that too, because it shows again too that what's the word when they're standing together? When people stand together.
The camaraderie?
Solidarity.
Solidarity.
You hear it a lot. You see it on fucking Instagram. It's like, no, this is solidarity. This is when marginalized communities, I'm sorry, but this is it. Like, this was really it. This isn't just some fucking hashtag. There are marginalized communities standing together in solidarity. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking, like, we've seen historical dramas and stuff. That's what I mean. There's a bunch of historical dramas that are not vampire movies that did not flesh this out. Ever. I don't think I've ever seen a fucking historical drama from the black perspective where they're talking to Chinese shop owners to fucking navigate the fucking city around the KKK. And I have never seen this in any historical
And they're just
drama.
Doing it like as of as like a reflex. They're just like fucking like just flowing together and like, hey, we need this. Boom, got it.
Yeah, because they're better at it than anyone because it's survival. Like that's like yeah, it's a complete system like unto itself. It's self-regulating. Yeah.
You know? I'm just mad there's no Mexicans in this bitch.
Who the fuck's Ludwig?
Jorgensen.
I don't even remember him. I fucking blocked him out because of my white guilt. Who's Ludwig?
Look, the score composer.
Oh, fuck. That, I'm like, who's Ludwig? No, dude, thank you.
You mean Von Beethoven, dude?
I forgot. That's what I'm saying, dude. The technical stuff in this movie, which isn't, that's not music, but the cinematography, the fucking, all of that, and the score is off the fucking, he went off.
Yeah.
He went complete. Have you heard the, like, listen to the score by itself?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
He went off, King.
Some of the electric guitar stuff, it was cool, but, like, I think it ruined it for me. I've gone to Halloween Horror Nights so many times, and there's these mazes that the soundtrack's done by Slash, and it's like this gothic horror electric guitar thing.
I disagree.
I think, so obviously they were trying to evoke, like, a Bootsy Collins type.
Well, they're also evoking the future. They're evoking the future because things aren't going to stay the same.
Or even, like, an Andre 3000 type vibe where it's like,
Well, yeah, because the music's supposed to transcend through time. It does. Stuff. Well, so it's bringing stuff to
it sounds that time goofy. Period. Like I actually believe it does that. Yeah. Like because I also believe that because physics, time doesn't just our perception runs one fucking direction. But fucking the universe doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't run in fucking. It doesn't split itself into past, present, and future. That's our. That's subjectivity.
Time is a flat circle, dude.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like I said, this kind of goes back to like the movie I was kind of enjoying, and then it got to that. But I do think when
you now that like
I
the
know
brrrr.
Now, yeah, see, I had issues with it, but now like when we talk about it, and I do want to see the movie again, and take everything I say with a grain of salt. This is coming from the guy who loved Furiosa and saw it four times in theaters. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But when I look at it, the movie is very extravagant. You know what I mean? With how it's very theatrical, like a musical, like stage play. You know,
and I think Jacob, like when I earlier on when I said I'm so happy to hear that, I actually meant it because it meant it was a bit, number one, I think it's a more interesting discussion than just all three of us gushing over how fucking perfect it is, because I don't think it's perfect. I just think it's like you said, big swings, and I wouldn't say 80% make it. I'd say 90-95% make it, and maybe 5-10%. It's a little unwieldy. Mm-hmm. I saw it once too.
Yeah,
but dude, I'm just like,
it's a blues opera. You know, like how they say rock opera or something, like Streets of Fire or something. Like this is like a blues opera.
Oh, dude, thank you for mentioning that too. Like, look, I'm not like, again, it's not like about the type of music to me, because I like the blues and I respect the blues. But I just, you know, we both saw shows recently. I had just seen Meshuggah and all this. So when they're mentioning the future too. Like, it's not just
you're like, I'm in the future.
Right I'm like, now, I'm in the future, dude.
Yeah.
I'm listening to dissonant fucking space Vikings, dude. So and so, stupid. So when it's like, I'm like, okay, dude, thank you for bringing that in.
Yeah, it's top five scenes of the year, for sure.
Oh, the fucking burning down in the juke joint?
Yeah, it's shit's crazy.
Dude, that should be so fucking corny.
Yeah. I almost thought it
that
was going
to
be
like that Sia like, movie.
Yeah. I really thought. I was nervous. I was really nervous.
They really needed to crank up the fake autism.
Yeah, dude. Like, it could be like, what was that movie? August Rush. Trash. Trash fucking musical. Wow. Or like, anyway, I'm not going down these rabbit hole of musicals. But yeah, dude. Okay, the tags, right? Like the credits thing. That's another indicator to me, by the way, of expanded universe potential, because it has fucking is it Smoke or Stax? It has Stax and Haley Steinfeld show up, and here's the thing, they're vampires and they survived. Am I like mad at them? No, like I think they're interesting still. I'd like to see what they've been up to potentially the last fucking 50 years. And you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Interview with the Vampire type deal.
Yeah.
And like she, it's like this tragic love thing. Like she wanted to be with him, and now they're gonna be together.
Yeah,
which is dead.
And also that it's like they left him alone.
They didn't kill the homie.
So like they could have come after him at any time. And you know, like, well, fuck you. You're a vampire now.
I was almost. Yeah. What reason do they have to fucking kill him? Right. But they want to go give him the offer now that he's near the end of his life.
Well, I think what it's saying is that, like, ultimately, like, empathy and, like, humanity is something that you can't quite, like, you can't vampire out, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the quote unquote leader of the trio in the beginning,
yeah,
he's like, just like, I'm going to get you all.
Right. Well, and then they're asking, like, that when you talk about stuff they can't vampire out, this, you know, the longing, God, the word's been so overused, especially with our political climate, but the longing for freedom, right? It's like, do you remember that day beforehand? And then they do that flashback to him in the car with him. And it's like, dude, I'm nostalgic about the beginning of this movie. Yeah. Like, this is crazy. And then it's like, yeah, we were free. Like, they were free for a few hours together. Like, and that's like, you know, that hits on a few different fucking levels.
I also, so what's her last name? Haley?
Because now they can't be up during the daytime.
Steinfeld. She's of mixed race. I also like the idea that
she's of mixed race.
Sorry, the way that fucking came out was crazy.
It was dope.
But like, as she's portrayed in the film, she's like a white person, right? But like, you can tell that she's also got her own cultural struggle as well. Like, she's like, well, I'm not like actually white.
She's not in the group. That's what, yeah, I mean. That's what I was talking
about. She's not in either group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which would be its own kind of, like, it's not like, oh, poor you. No, it's fucking, it's valid. Like, where, who do you belong with?
Yep. It's just at that point, whoever you love.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I grew up Mormon. I left it. Now I'm ostracized. And now no one will have me, you know?
Oh, they'll have you back. Don't worry.
They would.
They would love a weird cop in their ranks.
No, but I'm just like Haley Steinfeld in Sinners. Spit in my mouth, Jorge.
No, but yeah, Hans is funny. He goes, made me turn my stomach. And I'm like,
Well, dude, you said it probably made Matt. I'm like, dude, fucking, that's good.
The whole movie made me want to fucking spit in my mouth, dude. I'm ready for it.
It's a violent, horny movie for sure. Yeah.
I want voodoo. I want voodoo lady to do some shit to me. I want either Smoke or Stack to do some things to me. I want this fucking guy playing blues music to do some shit to me. Let's get it all of it. Give it to me.
Hell yeah.
I want dicks.
What if they don't take a shower?
Fuck them.
Wow.
Not fuck them, but I'd fuck them.
Oh. Get the smegma all over you.
Oh, I'd fuck them all.
And did we mention the box office?
Oh, fuck. We have it, man.
Yeah. Highest grossing original film, original R-rated film in a decade or something?
I think this decade.
Okay, that's too many.
That's a lot of, yeah.
That's too many fucking caveats.
Whoa. It is the, like,
it's highest grossing R-rated movie, original vampire with a director that did Black Panther.
Let's put it this way. It overtook Minecraft last weekend against all projections. And now it's on its
chicken way. Jockey.
Fuck, man.
This movie had that version of it, though, right?
And then it's on its way to cracking 100 million domestic in less than a week. So this is the fastest grossing horror film.
Variety had the gall to fucking be like, they jumped the gun and were like, I don't know, it's not going to earn its money back. No. And people were like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah. What's the budget for this? 90 million, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
No, they're very good.
It's fucking, dude, like, again, a few months ago, I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. I can't tell. Like, this could be, and then the thing was, it was going to be released a couple months ago, and then they moved it to April. Do you remember that?
I didn't know that.
I'm glad I didn't watch a single trailer for this movie.
Oh, you're so fucking lucky.
I'm glad too, because I think word of mouth just fucking really got you.
When the vampires hit, both Ronnie and I were like, what?
Well, that's what I wanted, but they spoiled all of that in the main trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked knowing that, like, they spoiled that one of the brothers was going to be a vampire. They showed that in the trailer. They showed Haley Steinfeld as a vampire in the trailer.
That's a mistake.
In the second one.
It fucked it all up.
The first one they didn't. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
But part of me, I was like, okay, cool. Well, at least it's going to be like a full-on vampire movie. And, you know, it was.
That's what it got you. Because you're like going from vampire movie.
Yeah, the marketing was misleading.
You watch Nosferatu and you're like, I want more of this. And then you were like disappointed.
You watched the trailer. Lost Boys better than this.
The trailer.
Well, which one?
It comes off as a horror action movie, and I think it couldn't be farther from that.
What, dude? It is. I think it. This is one of the best examples, definitely in the last few years, of a genre fucking bender.
Yeah,
like, dude, because it is a horror. It's not just a horror action movie. It's a historical drama horror action adventure film.
Epic. Yeah,
almost an epic because it's long enough.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, dude, I'm all about, like, this should not work. This shit should not fucking work at all.
Yeah.
But you're disappointed. I can
Well, there's certain elements. I'm just, you know, the horror elements. I'm like, the movie is horrific and there's...
What about the snake? Did it get you, dude, the jump scare?
It did. I fucking jumped out of my seat.
Hear that, dude? So it's horror.
And also,
horror,
the cheap jump scare flashes in the beginning. I was like, oh, I'm very susceptible to jump scares. That's
I can't. Oh, yeah. You keep messing with the devil, he's going to follow you home and all that. Dude, oh, that's what it is. It can attract things from the future and the past, but it can also attract fucking other dark stuff. Dude, I love it because I think it's accurate.
Well, I love it.
I think it's actually the music? Fucking... Yeah.
Yeah, because the father is like almost portraying the music as being devil shit.
Like, that's not fiction. That's not fiction to me.
That's Tool, dude.
That's fucking Meshuga, dude.
And I love having the pastor being Saul Williams. I don't know if you listen to his music, but it's good. That was a great choice.
They're bringing it and they're containing it with the sonic structures, man. You see what I mean, man?
Like Ghostbusters, dude?
Like Ghostbusters, dude. It's like their fucking instruments are their fucking... They cross the streams, dude.
So sonically...
You want to see Meshuggah cross the streams with the lasers,
fuck
dude?
Off. Fuck off.
So, okay. Wow, man. I'm glad you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I still liked it. I still recommend it. I want to see it twice. Hopefully still in theaters, but, you know... I feel like some of it didn't.
By the way, I can recommend the lot at Liberty Station. That's a dope ass theater.
I still haven't gone to any. There's two lots, and I haven't been to either.
You push a little button, they come in. How can I help you? And you're like, can I have a fucking drink?
Yeah. Like, can you?
Do they bother you like for like the bill like in the most like important part of the film?
At the very end. Like credits are almost rolling and they'll very discreetly like drop the receipt on your shit.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, well done. Thank you.
Because I've seen some where like they fucking were helping someone in front of me and they're just standing in front of the fucking screen.
No. They're good. They're like ninjas. I haven't been to The lot at Liberty Station, highly recommended.
Okay. Good shit.
How much were the tickets? Like $35?
So much, dude. It was $42
for both of us. Oh, that's okay. Well, that's still fucked.
Yeah. You don't use AMC? I don't watch enough movies, dude.
Yeah, but that's still... Here's the thing. That's like $10 less, $15 less than what you paid for that.
But for 1 month.
For a whole month.
Yeah, but I...
You can see Dolby, IMAX. You'd still be paying... Even if you saw one movie, you'd still be fucking...
But I wouldn't.
You did.
But I don't.
But you do. You're all not when I don't fucking have to, right?
Yeah.
No, I got you. Yeah.
But highly recommend this bitch.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Spit in my mouth.
Stick your tongue in my coos.
Number one, 2025.
Is that drool?
Yeah, it is, dude.
That's me, drooling.
So talk to me about why this is better than The Substance, man. You know what I mean?
Damn.
No, fucking totally different type of movie too. But we're gonna do the rule of Jenny Penn.
Sounds like it.
Fucking down.
Cool.
And then in May we got there's a bunch of stuff coming out now. I don't know. We don't know for sure what we're doing episodes on.
I might convince Red to just release like four episodes like really quickly, And then that way we can catch up.
I don't know. You know, you're doing the thing.
I might.
I don't know what catching up, like what use it
just
is.
Just so we can get to relevant.
So we and can then, wait 2 months
and then, and instead then I, of a month? And then I promise don't, I will be more.
That doesn't. It's not because I don't like you or love. It means nothing.
Yeah, I know.
I know that it doesn't. Because I got married. I promised things. Like, it means nothing.
Well, I've been in...
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I've been in this relationship longer than you were ever married.
No, I'm just saying I have zero expectation. It's not because I'm fucking... That it's going to change. I'm happy it's still happening. Honestly, because I'm like, any day now, he's going to be like, you know what, guys? It's just fucking run its course. We dipped below this amount.
I will. Well, yes, but that's besides the point. I will say, I'm getting to a rhythm again. I think we'll be okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're ready for another 10 years?
Yeah, sure.
Fuck yeah! It's a play date, man. It really is. It is important for our health as we age. Like, dude, I've got early onset dementia already, man. I mean, think about me, man. Think about my needs. I'll take it easy on the R word. You know what I mean?
Which one?
I'll stop banging the table because of that review.
God, fuck that lady.
Yeah.
You to bang on the table more.
I feel like that really got into Jacob's head, though, and he's like, damn, Rhett's a piece of shit.
I'm glad he didn't go to horse the van, to be honest.
He's all fuck sinners, dude. Yeah, I'm glad. He's all, you know what? It's a good thing you didn't go to the show. I'm like, fuck.
I would have been real what resentful.
The fuck, man? All we got now is network, dude. Like, what the fuck?
No. We got money now. We got money. We got more monies.
What do you mean?
Because you didn't go to the show. We got a new Patreon member.
Because you didn't.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Maybe don't go to anything. Maybe don't show up to the show.
Okay, man. Now. We should have a guest soon, though.
You know what? There would be a contingent of the audience that would be like, oh, he's gone.
Of course there would.
With me, too.
I think all of us will have a...
I don't think...
Retta would love it.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. But I think the proportions are higher with one of us than others. You know,
sure.
If everyone likes you, then you're
but yes, we should have a guest coming up.
Yes,
we have someone who wants to go on the show. His name starts with a B. He reached out.
I know he reached out.
He's one of the best guests, dude. As when I was listening to the show,
quote unquote,
he was my favorite guest.
This guy would. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say it. I'd say it if I said it.
He's got a really good voice, dude. He's got a good voice for radio.
But what does he use the voice for? What thoughts are attached? No, he's actually real fun on the show. You want to bring him on?
He would appreciate us making fun of him, I think. All right, that's it for episode 436. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Ray.
Bye, idiots.
Bye, Sophia.
And I hate your fucking guts. Woo!
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.